This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Ahead to Watkins for USC, and she grabs her left knee.
The Rich Eisen Show.
How great is Danny Hurley's UConn team?
For that call to be made at that point in the game was a complete joke.
Tone it down, bro.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, today's guests, CBS Sports college basketball reporter Seth Davis, host of Pablo Torre Finds Out. Pablo Torre, two-time major champion Xander Schauffele, four-time Olympic champion Michael Johnson, and now it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live on the Roku Sports Channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate. We say hello to the Infinity Sports Network. Hello, Sirius XM channel 375 and Odyssey. We say hello to anybody who's streaming us on the Odyssey app and then Odyssey.com. For anybody that's out there listening, I decided to go with a two-tone sweater today. It's definitely not my usual look. So if I sound any different to you, that's why.
You want to walk us through that process this morning?
Oh, God, I was, I don't think that's the way we lead the
How
program.
How many sweaters were looked at before that?
You know what? I don't think that's the way we begin the program.
The evaluation period of your...
Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, Rich.
How are you?
What's up, man? I'm good.
I'm hanging in there. How are you, DJ Mikey D? Isn't D's nuts?
I'm doing well.
Okay, good.
What are you dropping?
Good to see you, TJ Jefferson. How are you? Good to see you.
I'm great. I just said my name in sign language.
Okay, great. TJ Jefferson is.
You have two letters.
Here.
I
mean,
it's easy. Don't be a hater your whole
life. I'm not.
We've got four guests here on the program. First up, Seth Davis, talking about the men's NCAA tournament. Obviously, we'll be talking about the women's with him as well. We'll get to that in a second. We've got Pablo Torre here. He's going to find out what the Rich Eisen Show is all about. I guess that's he's going to do a deep dive on our program. So everybody, get your desks in order because he's going to be poking around, and I don't want him to find stuff that he shouldn't know about.
He went to Harvard, so you know, be prepared.
Wow.
Be prepared.
I went to the Harvard of the Midwest.
Oh boy!
Actually, he went to the Michigan of the East.
That's not true.
That's what we're talking about.
Michigan of the East.
Anybody refers to it?
Oh my God!
No one.
Xander Schauffele will be on this program.
Schauffele.
You know, it's kind of crazy.
Somebody.
He only won the PGA Championship last year and the Open Championship, and people are calling him Xander Schauffele and.
He's just letting them.
He's I guess. I mean, we talk about a deep dive. I couldn't believe we spent five
Let
to ten
know how
pre-show
to
minutes
me.
Talking about it. Is it really Schauffele? And we saw Facebook video in which that's the way he called it.
Every one of us had a video up pronouncing how to pronounce
differently.
His name is more
He's going to be joining us in advance of tonight's TGL, the inaugural season, and coming to a conclusion tonight. He's down one match to none.
Great finish last
to
night.
To the Atlanta Drive Golf Club. He's part of the New York Golf Club, and he needs to win two in a row tonight, or needs to win one in order to force another. We'll talk about that with him. And we didn't show any stills of my run from the weekend here at the Rose Bowl for Run Rich Run, that the contents of which will be revealed fully on draft weekend. We have a whole bunch of photographs to show, and we didn't show them yesterday because we got so deep into everything else.
So who better to show them to than Michael Johnson, who's here in studio in hour number three, just to fully clown myself.
No.
Okay.
Well, he helped you train one year, correct?
No. He's in advance. Yes, he did. No. I don't think he wants that mentioned in advance of Grand Slam track.
He doesn't want that on the resume?
The home of professional track competition. Its inaugural event will be held April 4th through the 6th in Kingston, Jamaica. So I am on to him in our number three of this program. Listen, we're having some fun here, but last night was not fun watching sports. Mm. You know, we as sports fans sometimes can't get to enjoy nice things. And we here in Los Angeles have been enjoying watching Juju Watkins show up on the campus of USC and become one of the most famous basketball players in the United States of America, if not the world. And that's not overstating it. When UCLA played USC on the Saturday night of the first weekend of March, when I was at the Combine in Indianapolis, I was sitting there watching a whole bunch of I was sitting in the if you will, sports bar setup in the lobby of the hotel in Indianapolis that had a whole host of games that were on at the same time. There was only one I was interested in, and there was only one that really was important, to be honest with you, with all due respect to a lot of the NBA games that were being played and a lot of the NCAA games that were being played and the preseason exhibition baseball I was seeing up there. USC playing UCLA was the marquee event in Los Angeles and the United States of America, not just because of how great UCLA is, but that's Juju Watkins. Mm-hmm. My daughter's got a Juju Watkins shirt. And she has more NIL deals than Cooper Flagg. That's a fact too. So, when she went down last night, it started a text chain. You were the first to pretty much, you and Sarah were watching the game together.
Yeah, we were watching.
USC, taking on Mississippi State here in Los Angeles in a round of 32 to try and make the Sweet 16. And she's driving to the basket. She gets bumped hip to hip. And how many times does somebody just fall down to the court and just get up?
Yeah.
But her right leg plants, and you could just see it.
Yeah.
You could just see her right leg buckle, and you could see the way that she went down and the way that she was screaming and the way that her teammates were standing over and then having to carry her off. It's a torn ACL. Mm. Shams was reporting this last night. And I'm imagining there'll be, surgery immediately, and off Juju goes. And we watch, USC destroys Mississippi State anyway. Kiki Iriafen getting a 36-point night, double-double, the whole business. Oh, she just was one rebound shy of a double-double. They took care of business, but here we go. We were hoping to see USC go on this run. There is another matchup with UCLA that still could happen. I mean, USC takes on K-State Saturday night at 8 Eastern time. That'll be going down, let me make sure I get this right, on ESPN and the family of networks of Disney, which you can see right here on Roku. And boy, it would have been if USC was on a collision course in an Elite Eight game with UConn, with all due respect to UConn's opponent and our friend Stacey Dale's alma mater, her numbers hanging in the rafters of Oklahoma. If USC was taking on UConn, seeing Paige Beckers and
so sick
Juju Watkins on the same court,
we
have been robbed of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm discounting other teams and other programs. You know, LSU is going to be potentially on a collision course with UCLA in an Elite Eight game.
And South Carolina is always going to be there.
South Carolina, UNC and Duke is playing each other in a Sweet 16 game Friday at 2:30 Eastern. Texas and Tennessee, you want to talk about blue bloods, right? Notre Dame and TCU. I mean, these Sweet 16 matchups, we're now going to start to see the cream of the college basketball crop play one another. And there's no Juju Watkins. What else can you say other than it's sickening and a damn shame? because, you know, these things happen, and but usually not to somebody who is of a superstar status right in the middle of just when we wanted to see everybody at full strength to go and try and cut down a net in Tampa, Florida on April the 6th. USC still could do it. Now, this could be one of those, let's do it for Juju.
Rally behind.
And I mean, we've seen it happen.
Yep.
But
it takes the air out of, you know, what could have been.
What an absolute bummer.
What still will be, but it's just, you know, when one of the top teams is without the superstar and one of the faces of the sport, it's just a major bummer. That's the only way to put
it. And she's a sophomore, and so how does this affect even next season?
Chris and I were discussing that this morning, Rich. Like, this happened so late. Is she back next year after this surgery?
Yeah, I got to imagine. I mean, it's 9 months. It's not a full year. It's not a year plus anymore. It's a 9-month recovery. We saw Stephon Diggs. Like, he's running at full speed. He you know, he had the same injury late in the year of the NFL season. I fully expect her to be back, right?
For the beginning of the
maybe not the beginning, but by what, January, right?
You can hope.
Obviously, this will be a top story and discussed on Women's Sports Now right here on Roku on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Shakes up the rundown.
I watched it being shaken up last night. I'm sure you were as well, sitting there next to Sarah, and I was sitting next to Susie in our respective living rooms. Yeah. And that's one half of the hosts of Women's Sports Now, Colleen Wolfe and Renee Montgomery, will, I'm sure, have quite a bit to say on this subject matter.
Sure.
That'll be on Wednesday. I mean, as soon as the clock strikes midnight, Women's Sports Now right here on Roku. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Yesterday as well, we had a pro day of note. The de facto, most everybody believes, as of right now, 29 days before we're convened, just outside of Lambeau Field.
Outside of Lambeau Field.
It's not inside.
We're Eric Dickerson away?
29? We're 29 Eric Dickerson days away. Tomorrow will be 28 Marshall Faulk days away. Yeah. Oh, we can keep doing this.
We'll do it every day until we get there.
Definitely should do it every day.
Until we're 8 Aaron Rodgers days away?
I know.
All right. Well, we're waiting on Rodgers to make a decision still. And the Steelers are the pole positioners for that. Cam Ward held his pro day on the campus of the U. And listen, pro days are you know, guys in shorts on their home turf with their home wide receivers running routes and showing off arm strength. Yeah,
it should be perfect.
It was. Yeah. And then there's always this wow throw where somebody's rolling against the grain and flat footed or just winging it 60 yards down the field, dropping a dime.
We call that the Zach Wilson,
throw, which is unfortunate because of how, you know, the Jets chose him second overall,
and
now he's on his third team, second on the depth chart behind Tua in Miami. And that's not where you want to be usually after you're chosen second overall just 5 years into your career. But be that as it may, what you do see to try and sense what is up is who's there. Now, I know some teams could play rope-a-dope, and whoever's there really doesn't matter. I mean, the Cleveland Browns are talking to Cam apparently later this week, and the representative of the Browns yesterday at the pro day, not Stefanski, the coach, not Andrew Berry, the general manager, but assistant general manager Glenn Cook. Does that mean that the Browns wouldn't take Cam Ward if he drops to 2? Does that mean that they're uninterested in trading up to 1 for him? Doubt it. Joe Shane was there chit-chatting with Ward before, the general manager of the Giants. But they don't have the first overall pick. That belongs to the Tennessee Titans. And they were represented by, you ready for this? According to The Athletic and The New York Times, They were represented by general manager Mike Bergonzi, president of football operations Chad Brinker, assistant general manager Dave Ziegler, head coach Brian Callahan, offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, quarterbacks coach Bo Hardigree, vice president and football advisor Reggie McKenzie, director of scouting AJ Highsmith. Wait. The Titans also had their in-house television and internet broadcast crew on hand to record the pro day and the post-workout chit-chats that Ward had with everybody else and interviews like the one he had on NFL Network.
So they like him?
Well, the Titans are interested in Cam Ward.
Interesting.
And you know how things work. Content is king. Content is king.
Facts.
As I, you know, as a guy who voices over the Jets version of their own Hard Knocks. Oh, by the way, Emmy Award winning.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hey, now.
And yeah. So what are they going to do? Is capture Cam Ward's every movement at his pro day just to hand that video off to the Giants because they gave him the Godfather offer for the first overall pick? Or they have no intention of doing anything but sticking and picking. And Cam Ward let everybody know that he's the first overall pick for the last several weeks. He's been wearing it on his sleeve. He's been talking it into an existence. He didn't throw at the combine like a first overall pick would do. He says it to Shedeur Sanders. We've seen the two of them kind of go back and forth about it, right?
Yep.
And that whole Titans contingent that I told you about that was standing there watching him work out and the Titans broadcast and internet crew that were recording it, Cam let them know in real time who the first overall pick is, as he told my colleagues Cam Wolf and Brian Baldinger on live NFL Network television yesterday.
There was a throw that you did on the roll, on the run, where you hit a dime, and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker and Mike Gorenzanzi, and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you say to him?
I said, I'm solidifying it today.
And you solidifying it today. Said.
Locking so, it up.
They heard you? They yeah, laughed
I made
bit.
Sure they heard me. So.
I made sure they heard me.
I love it. That's awesome.
Now, they could be making this big show to say, oh, by the way, Joe Shane, who's there for the Giants, your offer that's already on the table for the first overall pick, not enough. It's not enough. Because you see how we feel about the kid.
Add a pick or two.
You know, it could be that. Every NFL fan I talk to doesn't think this kid's first overall pick worthy because the first overall pick is for, you know, consensus. Like, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Those names are people like Andrew Luck and Trevor Lawrence and Caleb Williams. And you didn't think about that Cam Ward when he transferred from Washington State by way of Incarnate Word to Miami. And you didn't think that when your guy, Kyle McCord, in Miami and Syracuse pretty much bounced Miami from the college football playoff the same day that McCord's previous place of college work lost to Michigan.
Fact.
But it doesn't matter if the Titans think that he's worthy of it. And they certainly showed that at the pro day on Monday. Communicated that with their plane tickets and their broadcast crew.
Yeah, they took him out to dinner, right? The night before, too.
I mean, Brian Callahan must have been with the broadcast crew and everybody else. The Titans must have been like rolling 20 deep at this pro day. So the Titans are indicating it's Cam Ward, and they're indicating to any other teams it's Cam Ward. And if there's any other teams that wants Cam Ward, you better come in. You better roll in heavy, or heavier than you're already rolling in. And that's what comes out of Cam Ward's pro day. 844-204 Rich number to dial. Let's take a break. Seth Davis is going to join us from CBS. America's most watched network, home of Watson Sunday nights.
Okay.
And Hoops HQ founder Seth Davis coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I just looked at my email during the commercial break because, Tom Brady, a natural tension between him and Belichick, huh? During the free agent process, something like that? We'll have that later on. On TomBrady.com, he popped that out there.
He said it on his own website?
Is that what's going down, Hoskins? You're the one who sent the email. That's what's going down. I'll call the 199 is what it's called, and he's going to give this. And it's odd that a Buffalo Bills fan. Do you have, like, your antenna out for Patriots tension?
Oh, Mike, is that a what newsletter.
It is? Like, he feels it, like a sixth sense.
It's like a bat signal.
Bills fans love talking about the tension.
Well, Bills fans got to live in the past because they know Drake May's coming.
Drake May's coming.
DeRocky.
I didn't know that.
DeRocky May. Oh,
you know it's coming.
I didn't know that Drake May's coming.
Oh, and then, I bet he has, 10, 12 touchdowns to Travis Hunter next year?
Why are you so high on it? Is that a fan thing? Is that what it is?
You didn't watch the games and saw what's happening?
I saw he couldn't throw to anybody, and the running game sucked, and the offensive line had massive holes in it. That's what I saw.
Yeah,
and I saw it's going to take a while to build.
And guess who is still making plays behind a terrible offensive line, no receivers, and running backs that did nothing but fumble.
That was so disrespectful.
Was it really what I said? Wow. It was disrespectful, or it's the truth?
So he couldn't hit anybody out the backfield. The running game sucked.
Drake May right now would be the best Jets quarterback this century.
Let me think about this.
Is Chad Pennington in this century?
Yes, but Drake May is so much more talented than Chad Pennington,
bro. Chad Pennington was him.
Chad Pennington was who?
Okay. Him.
Let's see it. I will say this. Josh McDaniels being the offensive coordinator immediately changes everything. Mm-hmm. On the spot, let's get some receivers who will be able to separate from man coverage and catch the ball. Well, and let's get some offensive linemen block.
No one wanted
to take
the money.
Which is why maybe we've got a fascinating possibility in a mock draft coming up when we mock it like a hurricane.
Okay.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend Seth Davis is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. He is the founder of Hoops HQ, and we see him all throughout CBS Sports and, of course, the Turner coverage of the men's NCAA tournament. How are you, Seth? Good to see you.
I'm doing all right, Rich. I'm a little bleary-eyed, not sure what time zone I'm in, but as I have often said, I know you can relate. I haven't worked a day in my life, and I'm not breaking the streak today.
I appreciate you saying that. Before we start, I know you're focused on the men's tournament, but here in Los Angeles, California, where I know you're based, Juju Watkins going down last night, and it's an ACL, and now we're wondering when she's even going to come back. Next year's women's season is even roiled by this news here. I'll just give you the floor with your two cents on her and what this means. Seth?
It's so heartbreaking. It's just so heartbreaking on so many levels. Not to go right to sort of the crass business part of it, but I mean, the women's game is at such an inflection point, and people so much looking forward to this tournament, and she's the number one reason why. I mean, she's incredible. And the season that she's had and what she's done for the team and just the way that she transcends not just women's basketball, but sports. I mean, just a genuine breakout star. And just on a personal level, you're so heartbroken for her. You know, you think about over the summer and the fall and all the work that goes into being as great as she is that none of us ever see or will ever see. And then you get to the point where the payoff is coming and this happens. It's just heartbroken for her, but it's that's life and that's sports. So what can you do?
I hear you. I mean, you basically summed it up where it's heartbreak, it's awful, it's terrible. And, you know, maybe USC can utilize, right, and for now, hey, we're more than just Juju. She's our leader, but let's do it for her. Like, that is a significant, powerful, potent weapon in its own right, potentially.
Yeah, yeah. And they certainly did that last night, you know, but you just wonder when you get to the later rounds, they're going to miss her. You know, it's just it sucks. It just royally. You know, we kind of went through that in the men's side during the ACC tournament when Cooper Flagg went down against Georgia Tech. It looked awful. I mean, his foot bent the way it's not supposed to bend, and they took him out of there in a wheelchair, and you just didn't know. And you know, Duke is obviously very fortunate that he's okay, but you know, the sport and the tournament are okay because, you know, stars drive this thing, and you know, she is as big of a star as there is in all of sports.
Agreed.
Any sport, anywhere.
Absolutely. Seth Davis here on the Rich Eisen Show, again the co-founder and editor in chief of Hoops HQ, and we watch Seth all throughout the men's NCAA tournament when he's I can't figure out which network you're on every now and then, but obviously CBS is your home. Let's just jump into it right now. The most impressive team through the first weekend of the men's NCAA tournament is easily Duke.
And in fact, you know, I felt this way about Duke for about a month now. And a lot of the numbers bear this out. Your favorite website, KenPom, the numbers that Duke have been putting up in their metrics and their efficiency numbers are historic. I think there may only be one other team, and that may have been 2015 Duke, if I'm not mistaken, in the history of that site, which goes back to 1997. And, you know, people can say, well, you know, the ACC, a couple things. First of all, that's baked into the numbers, the level of your competition. That's number one. Number two, hugely underrated how hard it is to beat even a team like Wake Forest by 35 points. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's one thing to win the game and win it convincingly, but you're constantly beating teams by 20, 30 points. And then they had a game against Illinois, which last I checked is not in the ACC, Madison Square Garden, late February. They beat Illinois by 47 points, biggest loss in the history of the Illinois program. And Illinois, 8 days later, went to your favorite town, Ann Arbor, and beat Michigan by 20 points. Michigan's in the Sweet 16. So people have been, if you can say they're underrating Duke, I think they've been underrating Duke. And, you know, Baylor's obviously not a great team. It's why they were an 8 seed. But you saw in that second round game what Duke is able to do. And the differentiator really with this team, Rich, is their defense. They're, you know, they've been one of the top defensive teams in the country. And they're also the tallest team in the country. So you not only have 7'2" Kamen Malobach at the rim, and Cooper Flagg is a great help side defender, but you've got a, you know, point guard at the point of attack. Sion James is 6'6", and Tyrese Proctor is 6'4", and Con Knipple 6'7". So they have size length all around, which means they can survive a bad shooting game. But when they shoot it as well as they did against Baylor, they're literally unbeatable.
Yeah, a couple things there. First of all, you're right. KenPom is my favorite site because I checked with my doctor to see if KenPom was right for me. So, but that was years ago.
You are the side effects.
Yeah, you know what? Exactly. But outside of that, our friend Jay Billis called Cooper Flagg the greatest freshman Duke's ever had a couple weeks ago. Yeah, my eyebrows raised as well when he said that. And there is some chatter, you know, amongst fans that this is potentially the best Duke team ever. Where do you stand on that sports talk radio type of subject, Seth?
Well, I guess we can't. It's actually an interesting question because I guess we can't even have the conversation for another couple of weeks, right? Like, but do you have to? Isn't that kind of silly, though? Like, if you lose one game, does that make you not? Like, some people could argue the 1999 Duke team with Elton Brand, Trajan Langdon, William Avery, Corey Maggette, that was the best Duke team. They lost twice that season, but one of them happened to be in the national championship game to UConn in a one possession game. So, you know, it's, and again, a lot of this can be analyzed in the data. I think there's probably a case to make, like when you said about the strongest freshman, the guy that popped into my head is Zion Williamson. If you look at the numbers that he put up, now they lost in the Elite Eight. So, you know, how do you factor that in? But just the fact that we're talking about, you know, given the history of this program, that it's even a conversation should tell you where. Now, that doesn't say they can't be beat, Rich, but I'll say, I always kind of start with, if every team in the tournament plays their A game, if they play as well as they can play, who's the best team? I thought it was Duke for a while, and it's why I picked them on the selection show to win the championship.
Who's the most dangerous team in the Sweet 16 in your estimation? And that means we're not talking about them. We don't think they can win it all, but look out, because there's a glass slipper, because it's March Madness.
Well, if you're talking about the sort of not talking about them, that, I mean, I was going to say Florida. Obviously, people are talking about Florida. But, you know, I don't know that we're talking enough about Houston, both in terms of what this team can do. And, you know, historically, you know, Kelvin Sampson took over the job at Houston in 2015. The last time before that day that Houston had won a game, Rich, a game in the NCAA tournament was 1984 when Hakeem Olajuwon won. He wasn't even Hakeem yet. He was still Hakeem. That's how down Houston was. Now, it takes more than a coach. So they had, you know, unbelievable support and being able to build the Fertitta Center and getting their facilities up to snuff. And now they've joined the Big 12. So they've turned it into a power conference program. But, you know, he's been to an Elite Eight. He's been to a Final Four. Last year, they were in the Sweet 16 against Duke, lost their All-America point guard, Jamal Shedd, in the opening minute, still almost won the game, lost in the Sweet 16. So you just kind of wonder, like, you know, one of these coaches and programs that's constantly knocking on the door. How about this? Everyone talks about their defense, their toughness, offensive rebounding, all important things. They are number one in the country in three-point percentage. And they brought in, I mentioned Jamal Shedd, who's now in the NBA, Rich. They brought in a point guard from Oklahoma, Milos Uzan, which is not only really hard to follow someone like Jamal Shedd, but, you know, Jamal Shedd had been in that program for a number of years. And the previous point guards have been in that program a number of years. So it was kind of a double whammy. And then Uzan, by the way, got hurt in the summer, so he missed a lot of the preseason stuff. Took him a minute to get going, but he's been playing as well as any point guard in the country this season. So, yeah, Houston absolutely has a legit, you know, good job beating a really good Gonzaga team. They've got another team ahead in Purdue. Everybody plays somebody good in the Sweet 16. But make no mistake about it, Houston's absolutely good enough to win this thing.
And then you mentioned Florida, not a, you know, as a dangerous team. Oh, how about Arkansas? I mean, would this not be such a Coach Cal thing to show up in Arkansas, have the regular season that he had, the start that he had, and make the Final Four anyway as a 10 seed, don't you think?
Such a Coach Cal thing, right? Lose games you're supposed to win, win games you're supposed to lose. And that's if you do it for as long as he has. And, you know, look, I mean, Calipari, I took plenty of shots at him this season. I thought he got an unfair rap at Kentucky. But, you know, first of all, let's start with that, by the way. I mean, how about giving him the credit? He didn't get fired at Kentucky. He could still be there, but he had the foresight and the humility to say, you know what, I need a change. Now, he obviously wasn't going to go just anywhere, so he went into a really good situation because John Tyson, the, you know, billionaire of Tyson Food, said, we'll give you. It's all about NIL money, as you well know.
It's a lot of chicken, Seth. That's a lot of chicken.
A lot of chicken. Yes. I love chicken. Who doesn't love chicken?
Please.
Who doesn't love chicken?
Yes.
But just to have that wherewithal to make that move, that's pretty impressive. Probably didn't get enough credit for that. But look, I took plenty of shots at him like everybody else, and he deserved it because they were playing terribly. And you wondered about his roster construction. You wondered about, is he playing a modern style and with the analytics and everything? And then they lose their freshman point guard, Boogie Flan. They're 0-5 in the SEC. Then they go 1-6 in the SEC, and he's walking into Rupp Arena to face a Kentucky team that has it rolling. And what does he do? He wins the game. And ever since then, they've been off and running. And I guess what I'm driving at, Rich, is they wouldn't have made this turnaround if he really and truly did make it all about him. You know, like, he's out there and he's an easy target. He's like a pinata. We all take our shots at him. But inside that locker room, you have to keep the belief of your players. And they won't give you that belief if they think you want to make it all about you. And so I give him enormous credit for holding that program and that locker room together. And by the way, their leading scorer and rebounder, Adu Thiro, hasn't been playing. He's got a hyperextended knee. He needs to be able to get back in the lineup this week. They back Boogie Flan. So the Arkansas team that's going to take the court against Texas Tech might not be the same Arkansas team we've been seeing the last few weeks. It's a great, great story.
Yeah, that's going to be in San Francisco later on this week. I guess the most Coach Cal thing wouldn't just make the Final Four. He'd make the final game against Kentucky. Now that.
Yeah.
Because that's in the ether. I mean, I know that's unlikely, but that's in the ether still. Like, it is possible. So would a matchup between my alma mater and Michigan State for the right to go to the Final Four, which would be kind of sick. But, you know, obviously there's a big but with Michigan taking on Auburn first up coming up in Atlanta. What are the this one's for me. What do you think the odds are of that? Like, what's Michigan's chances here to keep moving on against Auburn, Seth?
They have a solid chance. I mean, I would pick Auburn maybe to win the game, but, Auburn's had kind of an interesting season, Rich. One thing is, not said enough about Auburn. They only have one player on this team. Tahad Pettiford is a freshman point guard, comes off the bench. He's really good. He's the only top 30 recruit on this team. Everybody else was either under the radar or they transferred in. I mean, Jani Broome spent his first two college seasons at Morehead State. And they got guys transferring in from a D2 school, junior college, mid-major schools. So they've had that chip, you know, but then they were just blasting everybody. I mean, they lose 3 out of 4 games coming into the tournament, and they were still the number one overall seed in the tournament. That's how far ahead of everybody they were and they've been. And, you know, people don't like, you know, folks like me talk about this SEC conference being historically great. Well, they got 7 teams in the Sweet 16. So, again, your buddy Ken Pom maybe had that right, too. So, my point is that they carried that mantle as this sort of aura of invincibility through the SEC, through the season. And I think it wore on them. You know, I think they lost that edge, that competitive edge of, hey, you know, we're a bunch of mid-major dogs who don't belong here. Like, it's kind of hard to make that argument when you're the favorite. And, you know, Jani Broome, for as brilliant as he's been, the last few weeks has been a little kind of mortal. And that can get you, you know, through a second round win over Creighton. But now you're in the later rounds. The thing about Michigan that I really respect, Rich, is this team has developed a physicality and a toughness that they didn't have early in the season. And that's a credit to Dusty May. Now, their guard play is still going to be, you know, a little bit of a concern. Their turnovers is definitely a concern. Part of the reason why they commit so many turnovers is they have the ball in the hands of Danny Wolfe all the time. 7-foot Jewish guy, by the way, Rich. That's a win for my tribe. There weren't a lot of those at summer camp. Yeah, a lot of those at Trails End and Equinox. But they're kind of nasty. They've developed the physical. You know, when they beat Maryland in the Big Ten tournament on that buzzer beater from Trey Donaldson, they crushed them on the boards. So Auburn is now going to have to deal with Michigan's physicality. Now, Michigan's going to have to take care of the ball. They were the worst turnover team in the Big Ten, and you don't want to be that against Auburn because that's like an automatic points at the other end of the court. But, you know, they're in the game for a reason. They've played really, really good basketball. Obviously, were terrific during the Big Ten tournament, and You know, you've got to feel like you got a chance in this one, legitimately.
Yeah. Bruce Pearl does look like a guy who I would try to beat in intercamp games, though. You know, and it's interesting. Yes. Danny Wolf and Bruce Pearl on Shabbat night. You know, that is big for the tribe as well, Seth.
That's right. But we also got Todd Golden is in the tribe. And, of course, John Shire.
That's right.
So
look at
if
us.
If all three of them get there, we have a man.
Close. Before I let you go, Seth, you know how it works in sports. If you got some guy who's controversial, puts his stuff out there, is a little bit irascible, and you win, you don't talk about it. And Danny Hurley, you know, when he shoves Cam Spencer in a national championship game, you know, that's just kind of funny and quirky, you know, when you win back to back. Now we're talking about Danny Hurley's comportment again, having been bounced in the round of 32. But he's right. I mean, when he said they went out with honor, certainly the way that they played against Florida, that was you knew they'd be a tough out. That said, we're talking about Danny Hurley's comportment again. Where do you stand on this subject, Seth?
Well, it's all in the soup, isn't it? You know, I'll start with this. I think he did a really, really good job with this team. You know, this notion that they were going to win three in a row is just, I never bought into it because, I mean, they lost four starters. Now, you had to wonder because the previous year they lost five of their top eight players from the first championship team and were able to win it again. So you sort of had that latitude. Well, let's see. So I never ranked them. I think I started off in the preseason, my first AP ballot, Rich, maybe had them 10th. But I think they may have been second or third in the poll. So I was always like, let's maybe wait and see. But still, 10th is pretty high. And Danny, regrettably, really fell into that, especially in Maui when they lost those three games, like just expecting to pick up where he left off the season before. And I think once he got back into kind of coaching these guys, and then they had a major injury with freshman Liam McNeely, Alex Caravan, a lot of people thought he would be like a first-team All-American. He was a good player, but he wasn't that. So they had a lot to work through. But at the end of the season, they were right there. And when you saw them against Florida, it was like, that's a Danny Hurley coach team. I mean, they took it right to that number one seed. So I love his vulnerability. I love his authenticity. You saw him getting emotional. Again, those players wouldn't play for him the way they do if he made it all about him. But there is definitely another side to that coin. We can say it's part of what makes him great. When you walk off the court and you're saying to Baylor, I hope they don't screw you like they screwed us, what you're saying is that Florida didn't deserve to win. That's not respecting your opponent, and that's not respecting the game. And Dan has a regrettable tendency to fall into that when he gets frustrated. And again, it's part of what makes him great, but it's part of stuff like that you can't defend. And so I don't like the way that he treats referees a lot of times. I think that, frankly, the NCAA and refs in general need to constantly look at the way that coaches talk to officials and act. I think they've gotten better in that regard. He won two national championships. And so the only thing worse than not having Danny Hurley, the only thing better than not having Danny Hurley as your coach is having him as your coach because he's going to win. And so he's a larger than life character at this point, with a lot of rough edges. But I'll say this about him, Rich: he's no phony. There are a lot of phonies out there, and no one will ever accuse Dan Hurley of being phony. We got to give him that.
He is original. There's no question. Seth, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciated. Hoops HQ is a great spot for everybody to just dive into everything that's happening right now.
Yes, sir. Hoops HQ. And by the way, we're the transfer portal opened yesterday. So for guys like me and Hoops HQ, like, that's ratings gold for the media, Rich. I mean, that's good stuff. So
yeah, I know.
A lot to stay on top of.
I hear you. And if that's, we're up against it, to use a radio term. Otherwise we dive into that. It's so stupid to open a transfer portal in the middle of a tournament. It's just like, what are we doing? But that said, Seth, thanks for the time. And, oh, by the way, my wife has chimed in because she's watching us right now on the Roku channel. What about Lindsay Gottlieb? And I text her back, like, you mean for women's sports? Now she goes, no, as a member of the tribe. So that
member of the tribe,
that's, we got
Lindsay Gottlieb, 100%. Kutcher Sports Academy. Back, it all goes back to the Poconos.
It's where you have a fine winter time. Thank you, Seth. Beautiful. Thank you.
Go blue.
Okay, right. I hear you. That's Seth Davis, everybody.
A Duke fan saying go blue. How about that?
You know what? Is he a Duke fan?
He went to Duke.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I forgot. Okay. All right. So while we're counting Jews in college, I can say these things.
I understand.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
Is there anybody that Coach K would bring in or be around?
No, you know what? Coach was program. Coach K was always good at doing his own.
He did it himself. You need to bring anybody in.
Rich, there's this one story. It's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this before. So it's before one of our first games, and it was during the time when the movie Gladiator came out, okay? Mm-hmm. One of my all-time favorite movies, by the way.
Okay.
So we're all sitting in a row like this, okay? We're all sitting down like this, and there's a huge screen in front of us, and there's a doorway to the left. And the screen comes on, all the lights go off, and it's the part where, he's riding back in front of his crew, mm-hmm. and he says, you know, if you're dead, don't worry about it, for you or an Elysium, something like that, one of those lines like that. And they all get up and they go to battle. The lights come on, we're all ready to go. Out of nowhere, there's an arrow that comes on fire from the doorway, hits a dartboard. Okay, so we're all like this. Like, what the hell's going on? That's an arrow
on fire. An actual flaming
arrow.
through
the door to the side, hits the dartboard here. We're sitting there like, wow, this is really happening. What's happening? And out of nowhere, there's a Solution basketball, right? It had Solution on the side. And it was like these old kind of balls, and the ball started to roll in through the doorway. So arrow on fire, ball rolling in, we're all focused on the ball. And out of nowhere, Coach K runs in the room and dives on the ball. He's wrestling with the ball like it's a bear, okay? And he's like, effing fight with me, fight with me. And everybody gets up and everybody's like, yeah! And everybody runs out of room. My shoelace literally snaps. I come back in the room. All I see, Coach K on the ground. My hip. He apparently threw his hip out. And he's like, just get out there. I didn't even get out there. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And he came out there, he coached the game, and we won the game. But
this was pregame?
This was pregame. He does, you have to ask any Duke player that you ever have come on here, have them tell you one of the funniest pregame stories of all time, because he does this stuff every year. He comes up with his own stuff. And he gets so into it. He's like, he always says, I have goosebumps. I get goosebumps talking about this. Huh. It takes him to a different place.
So did he see Gladiator, you think, or did somebody?
Oh, he's seen Gladiator. He's seen every, he's an Army guy.
Okay.
So he's a West Point grad. So if there's any movie that deals with war, he's seen it.
So he says, come fight with me. He gets an arrow to flame up and throw in there. Come fight with me. You guys all go run out there. But you come back in.
Because I have to change shoes, still on the ground. In the same position, holding the basketball. I can't use, because last time I got reprimanded for using bad terminology on the show, so I will refrain from doing so this time. But he unleashed hell on me.
Oh my God.
It was one of the best moments ever.
I forgot that Jay Williams story. Thanks for replaying that, Hoskins. That was funny. Unbelievable. That's funny stuff right there. I can't believe he did that before a game. I remember when he was telling that story that I was kind of lost on when it was happening. I thought it was like during prior to a practice or something. Right. But he would have a flaming arrow and a basketball. Like someone would set that up before a game.
It's a little intense.
Jeez. And conversation, huh? That this could be the best Duke team ever, huh?
Yeah, I've seen that being batted around.
I mean, they did beat the crap out of everybody. Mm. And, I mean, Mount St. Mary's and then a former championship program in Baylor. Yep. Obviously, a lot of those players have moved on. We'll see what happens. Fourth seed at Arizona, and then they face the winner of Alabama, BYU, and then either Houston, Kentucky, Tennessee, or Purdue. And then the championship. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, Uber Eats is delivering game day deals all tournament long because you can't watch 8 hours of basketball a day on an empty stomach. From burgers to wings, pizza to chicken sandwiches, whatever you're craving, Uber Eats has deals on all your game day favorites. You never have to miss a single buzzer beater. Get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. Remember, get game day deals on all your favorites only on Uber Eats. Order now. So reverberating in our household, the Juju Watkins needing to be carried off the court. And then a couple hours later, Tatum's down on the ground in Sacramento holding Jesus. His ankle, like rolling around.
Hey.
And everyone's just like wondering, like, what's going on?
That was a rough 10 minutes.
So was it just 10 minutes apart? Because it felt
like it was kind of back to back, but I don't know. Maybe it was longer, but it felt like it was.
But Tatum's okay? Is that what you're saying now?
Yeah, one of the beat guys I follow was saying he was laughing in the locker room, had his sneakers on, like everything seemed fine.
No walking boot, no crutches.
No boot, no nothing like that. So, you know, he didn't play in the fourth last night.
I know, because so the Celtics just
kind of
took care of business. They're TCB in right now.
Oh, by the way, only 4.5 back of the Cavs with 10 games to go.
Oh, that would be a one total seed. Collapse. That have to,
one seed is in sight.
You do realize that means you have to go 10-0 and the Cavaliers go 0-10, right? You do have to realize that, right?
Well, they've won 9 out of 10, so, you know, it's
they have to
possible.
Go 10-0, and the Cavaliers have to go 0-10 to make up 4.5 games in 10.
Yep.
Okay.
Not out of the realm of possibility.
Doesn't matter. I mean, you're going to have to face them anyway. Are you going to have an issue going to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals going into Cleveland?
I don't think we'll see Cleveland in the playoffs.
Oh, really? Who takes them out? Who takes them out?
Somebody.
Because you don't think you're being taken out before Cleveland gets to the Eastern Conference Finals. Clearly, that's not what you're saying.
Yeah, what day is it? There's a parade in June coming, boys.
Okay, hey, listen, pal. Give me the name of the team that takes the Cleveland Cavaliers out before the Eastern Conference.
Let's see.
Finals. Who does that for you?
Orlando looks pretty good when they're full strength.
Orlando showed the Lakers the back of their hand last night.
True.
Paolo and Franz, that's a nice 1-2.
What, an Anthony Black just throwing in threes like crazy?
I mean, Milwaukee or Indiana could beat Cleveland. Okay. So.
All right.
Really?
Mr. Knock him out.
Mr. Don't Trade Giannis?
I owned up for that years ago, pal.
I don't know what about Cleveland scares people. I don't get it.
I'm glad Tatum's going to be fine. Hour two, Pablo Torre in studio. And also, so Tatum's not going to do the usual NBA thing. He turned his ankle pretty bad, so he's out for the next week. That's not going to happen?
I don't know. He's consistently played 75 games a year in his career, so he doesn't just miss
somebody
games.
Turns an ankle in the NBA, you don't see them for a while. And then there's going to be back-to-backs. Oh, that's out. Forget that. That's just definitely not happening. He's not playing back-to-backs. Come on.
You're an NBA jaded fan.
I'm not an NBA jaded fan. I see it,
They don't have any back-to-backs.
The Celtics have no back-to-backs the rest of the way?
26, 29, 31, 2, dude. 4, 6, 8. Oh, I'm sorry. They got one. 8,
that
makes, 9.
That would be a stunner. Yeah. Lakers only have three. The reason why I know this again is because I have Luka, LeBron, and Jackson Hayes in our fantasy league.
I'm trying
to see who's going. I know you've been long since gone.
Who's winning that league at this point?
Right now, Monica's on top of Brockman, and I'm on top of Hoskins just one day into the semifinal week. So anything can happen, obviously.
The barrel, though.
But, you know, there's back-to-backs this week. You think LeBron's going to play back-to-back this week? Or Luka's going to play back-to-back this week?
So, no.
Well, he needs them.
He has been playing all season long, but now he's coming back from a groin injury.
They're struggling right now, so.
I would imagine they could use it. Kawhi never does because he hurt his knee last year. So
you got to get off of this Kawhi Leonard thing, man, because do you watch him play basketball?
Like, he's spectacular.
If the man's body had not betrayed him, you make it seem like Kawhi just wakes up and goes, nah, I don't want to play basketball today.
I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just somebody who's sitting, the same people who figure out, you know, you've got to take your pitcher out after two times through the lineup, no matter how well he's pitching, no matter if he's got 60 pitches or 100 pitches, you've got to take that person out because that guy is now gives up a 290 average against those hitters the third time through as opposed to 220. Those are the people who say 3 months ago, he's not playing back-to-back in March or April. That's the way things go. So I root for Jason Tatum to play these. This is not a fantasy thing. I root for Tatum basically say, sure, I turned my ankle and it looked terrible. I'm going to play next. I'll play the game after that too. I'll play the back-to-back. That just doesn't happen.
Since you mentioned fantasy, can you tell Cooper to stop picking up people? He's not in the playoffs, so he needs to stop adding people.
Oh, is he doing that?
Yeah.
I'll talk to my son.
He added someone off of waivers.
Did he?
And I'm
really
like,
do
bro,
that?
Like, bro, you're not playing.
Yeah. Right, boy,
you're not involved.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to him.
Thank you.
I'll give my son a talking to for you.
Never say
you.
Die.